blessings of the Lord upon us thus far in this service, meeting together in His name, and trust that He would be pleased to look down once again and mercy upon us. We look to His Word. Looked at yesterday, we tried to consider Lord's dealings with Hagar and his expression concerning God's dealings with her. Want to, Lord willing, continue on in that vein, kind of leave where we left off. Scripture says in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. This is when the Lord looked upon her affliction. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Now the Lord sees all things. All things are naked and open to him, Scripture says, with whom we have to do. But what a difference it makes. The life of a child of God. When the Lord looked down, when the Lord, in a special way, we can say, Thou, God, seest me. We see this in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we read the account where Scripture says that John chapter 5, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the Scripture says there was a pool at Bethesda, wherein there were five porches, where a great number of impotent, lame, and different ailments and diseases, they lay. And an angel would come, Scripture says, at a certain season, trouble the water, and whoever at the first, after the water was troubled, would enter into that pool and be made whole of his affliction. And Scripture says that there was a certain man that lay there in an impotent state. Now he had been at this state for a long time. And the Scripture says that every time that the water was troubled and he tried to some way inch himself forward to obtain that healing that others were experiencing, there were those that came before him and prevented him from entering in to that water. But the Scripture says, but when Jesus saw, everything is going to change. But when Jesus saw his affliction and knew that he had been in that case for a long time, we can think about how many times it seems like he just at his fingertips, he would get just try to inch closer, and yet there were those that stood between him and the healing that he was seeing others experience. But when Jesus saw, he saw and he looked upon that scene, and he looked upon out of that vast multitude, the multitude, many people that were gathered together, his focus, he saw that man. And he looked upon him with pity and power and compassion. How many times have we seen children of God, those round about in desperate situations, and as much compassion and pity that we have, yet that we're, our heart may break for them, but we're unable to meet their needs. And maybe we can try, do the best we can, but it's not enough. But the scripture says, but when Jesus saw, he saw with perfect knowledge and power and compassion and pity, and upon his heart and upon his soul was all the feeling and the infirmities of that man. Yeah. Every time that he cried, every sigh that he had, every frustration, every time that he got a little closer but was unable to obtain that healing, the Lord Jesus Christ felt that. And he didn't have to come up with a plan, but the scripture says when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been in that case in a long time, he said unto that man, wilt thou be made whole? And this is the man's perspective. First five words out of his mouth. Sir, I have no man. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in, but every time I get a little bit closer, somebody goes before me. There are those that stand between me and healing. There are those that look upon me and they see me as someone who is a threat to their own interest. There are those that round about that maybe could help but wouldn't. Yeah. And those that just wanted to but couldn't, but surrounded by the infirmity of the flesh and the weakness of mankind and his own weakness, sir, I have no man, and from his perspective, thus it must be. Thus it must be. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Did he look upon that scene and did he say, well, let's see if we can make this situation work? Everybody move out of the way and let me put him in. Or did he say, now somebody help out this man. Somebody show pity to this man and put him in that pool. John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning himself, he that is from above is above all. The Lord Jesus Christ says that we're cut right through the red tape. And he said, take up thy bed and walk. We can see ourselves in that. Spirits of the children of God in that situation. As it were, upon a bed. Confined. Maybe not necessarily natural affliction, but somehow, maybe it's fears, apprehension, guilt that's troubling us from the past and just won't let go of us. Feelings of hurt, root of bitterness, whatever it is. And we can see those that are round about, that are going about, that have this strength and vitality, but somehow it's not within our grasp. Right. Sometimes we think we're almost there, but somebody steps between us. Somebody steps between us. Either ignorantly or a man intentionally in his pride, whatever it may be. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he looks down and he says, take up thy bed and walk. Whatever it is, it no longer defines us. It no longer holds us. But we can be as that man and lift that up as a monument of God's grace and the power that we experience when he comes, when he sees, when he looks upon us, when he says, arise, take up thy bed and walk. What a difference it makes in this way when he looks upon us. Think about another example of this principle in John chapter 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is upon the cross. There are those that are reviling him. There are those that are mocking him and cursing him as he's pouring out his soul unto death in our room, in our stead. In the midst of this scene, his disciples have forsook him and fled. Group of women, his mother among them, have accompanied him, weeping. Now they stand in the background, they look, and Mary, mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, she had held him as an infant, nursed him, saw that him as a little boy. The Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is he in his humble state, taken upon him the likeness of man. And now she sees, she beholds afar off. She beholds this scene. The Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says that when he saw his mother, when he saw his mother, he said unto her, "Woman, behold thy son." Pointing to John. That disciple who had leaned upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ, that disciple whom Jesus loved, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." He turned to John and he said, "Behold thy mother." And the Scripture says, from that hour, John took Mary into his own home. Yeah. Now we can see this scene. What was upon the mind and the heart of Mary? She wasn't feeling sorry for herself. She didn't realize what need she would have in the days and the months ahead, but her heart was moved as she saw this scene. But there was one, instead of being swallowed up in self-pity, he looked and with purpose and skill and with perfect infinite wisdom, he looked upon her, looked upon the needs that she would have that she didn't even realize the degree of need she would have, and he made provision for her. Yeah. He made provision for her as he looked upon her. We see what a difference it makes when he looks upon his people. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when there was a great multitude and they needed care for, we read this in Matthew chapter 14. This was a day, the Scripture says, when the Lord looked and he saw the multitude. He saw the multitude, the Scripture says, and he was moved with compassion upon them because they were sheep as having no shepherd. And during the course of that day, as the Lord looked upon him and his people, his sheep, his lambs, what were then his due in a special and particular way, there was not a need that was unmet. But he healed those that had need of healing. He taught them many things, and then he fed them when they were in need, and he provided for their needs in this way. What difference it makes when he looks upon, when he looks down upon his people. And we think about in a great, majestic way. Consider how the Lord looks upon his people. Ezekiel chapter 16. Here's a graphic picture. And the scene that is laid out, and immediate application of this is God is telling Israel, I made you a nation. I delivered you. I've exalted you. Now you've turned your back upon me. But we see in this scene a picture of spiritual Israel. And how the Lord looks down upon each of his people in a particular and effectual and a way of love. Scripture says that when the day when thou was born, thou was cast out to an open field in the loathing of thy person. He says, none I to pity thee or to have compassion upon thee. Thou wast polluted with thine own blood. And he said that I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, live. Don't we see us in that situation? God found us as he found Jacob in a waste howling wilderness. He found us, as it were, polluted in our own blood. He found us in a situation when we, as the scripture says, were altogether filthy. Scripture says that I looked upon thee. He doesn't send an intermediate. He doesn't send another agency. But he says, I looked upon thee. And what does he see? Does he see that babe lift up his hands and say, help me, or crying out for help? He's never known anything different. He doesn't know how much that he needs help. He doesn't know what he needs. But he says, I looked upon thee, and I said unto thee, live. And what happened? He lives. He says, I passed by thee and looked upon thee, the scripture says, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The skirt of his righteousness, covering the spiritual temple of God. And every time the Lord looks down upon one that is polluted in his own blood and says unto him, live, he comes unto him and he covers him with the skirt of his righteousness. He says, I swear to thee and entered into a covenant with thee, and thou becamest mine. The book of Ruth, when she lay at the feet of Boaz, that mighty man of wealth, what did he do? He spread his skirt over thee. And what did this signify? You're mine. You'll be my purchased possession to dwell with me. And when the Lord spreads the skirt of his righteousness over us and covers our nakedness, it's the time of love. Not when he starts loving us, but the time of love. When he enters into a covenant with us, when he gives us the earnest of our inheritance, gives us this pledge, gives us this token that you're my purchased possession and you're going to dwell with me forever. You are mine. He looks down. He sees, full of compassion and pity. We see in Isaiah chapter 53, the scripture says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy, when thou shalt make his soul a suffering offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When the Lord was hanging upon that cruel cross, suspended between heaven and earth, his visage marred more than any man, the scripture says, and his form more than any sons of men. What a blessed comfort to us when we feel to be alone and destitute in this world to know that the Lord didn't just see a mass of humanity. He didn't just see those around about and look upon them and desire revenge upon them. But the scripture says that he shall see his seed. He saw my face. He saw your face individually and personally and with perfect knowledge. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pledge of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. How long did he prolong his days, his time? Until he saw perfection. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When everything was complete, he says it is finished, bowed his head, gave up the ghost. Scripture says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We don't have to look back and wonder, did he leave something out?
No.
Was somebody not covered? But by his knowledge shall he justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This was a work of skill and precision with one that has perfect knowledge. And when he had completed that work, he saw his bride perfectly covered and complete. He was satisfied. God the Father was satisfied. He signified it in raising his son from the dead. To think that he looks upon us, looks upon his people. Our vision may be obstructed from time to time. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that there were those that had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, seen him in truth. Paul said that there were those with vain and profane babblings. It doesn't matter how eloquent their speech may be. If it's not according to the truth of the gospel, it's nothing more than vain, profane babblings. The word will lead as doth the canker. It says concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus, they overthrow the faith of some, saying the resurrection is past already. What happened to those individuals? Their eyes were diverted. What they once rejoiced in their experience, this had been taken away from them. But what does Scripture say? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What this tells us, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees them the exact same way that he saw them when he died upon the cross. He sees them perfected. Nothing is going to take that away. His eyes upon them. Their eyes may be diverted, but the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Matthew chapter 19. Scripture says that describes Jesus' interaction with the rich young ruler. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, what are the commandments? He says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lackest thou? Jesus said, go and sell that thou hast, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He went away sorrowful, the scripture says, for he had great possession. Many would look at that and say, well, he had his chance, he blew it. The Lord said it before him, but his riches meant too much for him. He walked away, he missed his eternal life. Mark chapter 10. Jesus, in the outset of that scene, the Lord beholding him, loved him. The Lord beholding him, loved him.
Amen.
He missed the greatest thing in this world on this side of the grave. But if the Lord, beholding him, loved him, Romans chapter 8, Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature.
Amen.
That means the rich young ruler himself. Any other creature, anything in present, anything in the future, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If the Lord saw you upon the cross, if he came to you when you were polluted in his own blood, our life is hid with Christ in God. Hid with Christ in God. One other example of this principle. John chapter 1. Jesus called Philip. Follow me. Philip went to Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. What was Nathanael's response? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Well, many would look at that and say, well, he doesn't have it. He might. At least the preacher got there. He's headed in the right direction. He's going to Jesus. Let's see what his response is going to be. What did Jesus say when he gets there? Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no God. Philip, Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? Jesus said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw thee as an Israelite indeed. I saw thee as part of the Israel of God. I saw thee as one whom I had visited with my love. Though as yet he was in darkness, ignorance, unbelief, in many ways, he said, I saw that before Philip called me. I saw thee. Thou, Lord, seest me. It may seem many times like the world is passing us by. That we desire is not within our reach. But we have a merciful, faithful high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And when he passes by, and when he looks upon us, nothing is the same. Turns it around. May the Lord bless us to rejoice in his goodness, his mercy. Amen.